Is that still going? Yep, good, right. Don't want anyone to fall asleep, so just keep an eye out there, all right? Just remember that. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. It's the way that you do it. That's what gets results. Now, I don't know if you've seen the ad, but the New World company uses the lyrics of a 1980s Bananarama song. And I don't usually go to girl power bands for spiritual inspiration. But if you've seen the ad, you might recall that there's a picture of a young lad standing in front of a school class and he's holding up a pig. Have you seen it? And it's got the cuts of pig, and with much joy he's kind of telling his class, oh, these are the different cuts of meat from this on this pig. And then it pans across to his dad, and his dad's serving customers. Obviously, he's very passionate about his job, and he's showing them with much joy, you know, oh, you can purchase this, you can purchase that. Seems that the moment there's a bit of a theme about passion in the workplace, and if we can just show that that internet ad, just watch this. So it's very, very funny. I can't help but thinking that Greg Walters, supermarket trolley mechanic, has read some of these words. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. I want today to talk to you about the connection between faith and work, and to tell you how I believe this faith and work connection happens in my police work. And when I talk to you about work today, I want us to think about work in terms of its broadest context possible. So I'm going to use this definition. Work being the expenditure of energy, whether manual or mental or both, in the service of others, which brings benefit to the community and glory to God. Often in our Western context, we have a real narrow definition of work. The second question that we often ask people when we first meet them is, oh, what's your name? Second one is, and what do you do? And often our response is that we say, oh, I'm this, and we're talking about employment. But work today, when I talk about work, I want us to use this very, very broad definition. So let's go to the Bible and consider our first example, God the Father, and let's think about the work that we know he does through Scripture. And I think that the work that God does fits into three categories. Firstly, God creates, Genesis 1 and 2. I need a bit of interaction here, a bit of help. What I've done is made a list of verbs that God does in Genesis 1 and 2, and I'm going to read the verb to you, and I've got some bribery jelly beans. Never take lollies from strangers, kids. So I want to read the verb out, and if you can tell me an occupation or a role or a work that lines up with that verb that God does, then you get a jelly bean. Genesis 1:1, God created. Oh, Otis.
God created the
world. Yeah, good, but who creates? What sort of roles would be? Yep, this thing about work. We might need some help here. Who creates things?
Florist.
Florist, thank you very much. Very good. A florist creates things.
Chef.
A chef creates. You're getting it now. You're getting it now. Okay, next one. Genesis 1:6. God made. Who makes things? A
builder.
A builder, a potter. Quick, grab one, mate. Yep. A builder, a potter. Okay. Now, what about this? Genesis 1:9. Gathered the water into one place. Yeah, that's the one I had. Plumber. Very good. A plumber. Good stuff. What about this? Let dry ground appear. A digger. Drain layer I had. Let dry ground appear. Drain layer. Very good. We're running through everyone. What about this one? God planted. That's easy. Gardener. Yeah, planter. That'll do. Okay, what about... little bit outside the box, God called the expanse sky. We'll go for those. I went for brand labeler. God called the expanse sky, a brand labeler. What about God gave light? Yeah, easy. Oh, you know, I'll keep these for me. Yeah. God saw that it was good. Hey, nice. I hadn't thought of that. I had analyst. God saw that it was good. Analyst. What about this? God said. Teacher, speak. Oh, very good. Well done. There's going to be plenty left for everyone. Formed. God formed. God formed. Yeah, I had sculptor. God blessed. He's an encourager, a coach, a guide. Oh, we might come back to those later. God puts man in the garden to work it. I call that a manager, an assigner of task. God calls man to fall into a deep sleep. An aesthetist? Are you married? Yeah. God commanded man, as he sets rules. He's an authoritator. So lots of things. It's a really interesting exercise if you went through those first chapters of Genesis yourself and wrote down all the verbs and things that God did. There's a whole raft of jobs or roles that you would see that he plays. What tasks do you do where you create? The gardener, the artist, the designer, the builder, the homemaker. Do you see these as opportunities to partner with God in his creativeness? God, firstly, he creates. God sustains. Hebrews 1:3. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. God, through Jesus, created and then sustains all things. All things. All of life. Nothing is outside God's sustaining. Yes, decay does happen in our world as a result of the fall, but Scripture clearly tells us that God holds all of life together. Some work roles I tend to define as mundane or ordinary. I call them the moan and groan tasks. For me, stacking the firewood, not really that enthused about stacking the firewood, but I have to do it because if I don't stack it, the firewood gets damp and it doesn't keep my family warm. It helps to sustain life. What are some of your moan and groan tasks? Cleaning the kitchen. What else are they? The things you don't like doing, but they have to be done. Dusting. Yep, there's a whole raft of them. Yes? Putting your toys away. They have to be done because, yes, Otis, you got one? Doing the dish, putting the toys away, doing the dish, have to be done because they stop decay. They help sustain our world and our environments. Without these moaning and groan tasks that have a sustaining of life function, our world would decay. We need to discover again the awe in the ordinary and join with our Creator God in his sustaining work. A 16th century brother by the name of Brother Lawrence wrote a fantastic book, and his conversations are recorded in this book entitled The Practice of the Presence of God. And way back then in the monastery, he found amongst the pots and pans of the kitchen a constant prayer life and communion with Christ. As part of God's sustaining, life is also maintained by the way that God has a role to hold back the influence of evil in the world. And I like to call this the restraining work that God's done. And if we call this that, then he partners with us in the way that our world and our systems have established legal entities and rules, and the way that we maintain order and enforce the law. And this, of course, excites me as a Christian policeman, that I can partner with God in helping him restrain evil. Better work, stories time. This photo was in the paper a few weeks ago, but it was from the other side. So I've got no problem putting it up, but what happened, this gentleman driving this car had been intoxicated, drinking at home, and threatened his partner with a knife, and then taken off, and she'd rung, neighbours had rung, and we turned up and took a complaint from the address, and he'd gone. We left, and there's a few of us on that night. Maybe half an hour later after we'd gone, he returned to the address, so we got another call. He's back, and he's more drunk, and he's taken off again. He's driving this car. So a few of us were patrolling around trying to find the vehicle, and I got a call from the traffic sergeant that had stopped a pedestrian who we thought might be the gentleman up on the corner of Omata and Bel Air. So I shot up there and parked behind him. Traffic sergeant was talking to this gentleman. As I was there, as I pulled in, the car that we were looking for, the white car, turned right from South Road into Bally Road. It really going flat knackers. Almost lost it on the corner. So I swung around and chased him. Lights and sirens going, all exciting. Chased him up O'Mata Road. And as he disappeared over the brow, I came up over and then I came across this scene. I thought, oh no, what's happened here? So I got out, ran over to the car, and there he was lying on the bottom of the car. I think this has got a pointer on it, eh? Top one, the pointer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's lying on the bottom, inside of the car, in the back here, and I ran over thinking, oh no, I'll have to. So I called up and asked for backup in the ambulance and the fire brigade, thinking we'd have to cut him out. He was that intoxicated that he sort of shook himself up and thought, I smashed the back window of the car and said to him, oh, you're under arrest. And he was a bit fiery and a few coarse words came out to the constable. I said, oh, that's not on. So out he climbed. He said, I took a deep breath and maintained my patience. He said, look, we're getting the ambulance on the way up to make sure you're all right. And why am I under arrest? And he climbed out of the car and then went for his pockets. Now, I knew he had a knife, so we had to do a quick bit of wrestling on him. Took him down, Sheriff John Bunnell style, as we say in the police. And that's me there, just giving him a bit of a pat down and search. Sure enough, he had a knife on him. And went to court with a few charges. I guess that I'm pretty lucky in my role that I get to do some pretty exciting things. But when I reflect on that kind of work, I do see it as me partnering with God and helping him to sustain society, to hold back the restraint of evil. If that man had continued to drive, there could have been much more damage done to someone else. And so I'm thankful for the role that I have, partnering with God to sustain his creation. The third thing that God does, so God creates, God sustains, and I think the third thing that we indicated in Scripture is that God redeems. Colossians 1:19-20 reads, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. All the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people, things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down on the cross." These verses, they speak of all things being put right. And I believe that this means all things, all souls, all households, all families, all communities, all economies, all marketplaces, all police forces. Too often I think in church that we focus the expression of our faith on the saving of the individual soul, yet that is only part of God's plan to redeem the world. We know that God created the world and then that he came to put things right by his death and resurrection. And we know that he is working out the putting right of all things, which will happen in all its fullness when he comes again. But we exist now in the time of transformation towards God's kingdom, between the cross and his second coming. So being a Christian, our mission is much bigger than just saving individual souls. It's about partnering with God. It's about redeeming the world. See, when Jesus said of Jerusalem, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathered her chicks." He was asking for the salvation of a structure and of a community. And so I pray that Marfell as a community would be redeemed, and that the relationships between people in Marfell would be God-honouring relationships of health and not of harm. That there would be improvements in the relationship between the police in that community and locals. So in my role as a community constable in Marfell, I get to work for the redeeming of community. Part of my work is prevention, working to improve, redeem things. Here a group of men from my community prepare a community hangi last Saturday, an event which we organised in the community to promote community cohesion and interaction. Here a group of us meet for a youth issues hui. The lady seated in the middle is a Christian lady who lives on Bank Street. About 3 months ago, a 14-year-old girl arrived at her house 11 o'clock at night intoxicated. Lisa took this 14-year-old girl home and was surprised to see the number of young people, 13 and 14-year-olds, drinking and on the street unsupervised in the Marfell community. Now, I knew that's a problem as a policeman in my area because I deal with the mop-up of that all the time. On the Mondays and Tuesdays after weekends, I get files of broken windows, of houses being broken into by these intoxicated young people. Lisa came and said, "Dave, I've seen it with my own eyes. What can we do about it?" So after some discussion, we decided to kick the issue off by having a youth issues hui at Lisa's house. So she gathered 30 of the young people from our community to talk about this issue, this problem, and start to brainstorm with them what we could do to put things right. The following month after that, we organised this hui with professional people and 5 representatives of those young people to try and then take that to the next level and say, what resources do these organisations have that we might be able to help pump into these young people to improve their situation? So we've come up with a bit of a plan for that. So my work involves partnering with God, redeeming His creation. And any work that you do to redeem things, to improve the status quo, you partner with God in His redeeming work. What the town planner does, the policy maker, the politician, the lawmaker, the mother who attends a parenting program, the couple that go to a relationships course, the father who gives up unnecessary Saturday work to spend that time with his kids. These things are done to redeem, to change, to improve our society. Whether your tasks, your work, your vocation is about creating, sustaining, or redeeming, these are God-honoring tasks. And these are tasks where we can give God our best. These tasks can be worship and they can be ministry. God throughout my life has caused me to see that honouring Him and serving Him, and honouring Him and in serving Him, it ain't about what you do, it's about the way that you do it. Be joyful always, pray continually, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I used to think that there were only certain roles in life that were truly Christian, and that if I was in God's will, I'd be doing one of these tasks. I'd be a pastor, a preacher, a professional minister, a youth worker, maybe the worship team leader, or the overseas missionary. And then perhaps I thought that other work was simply done to support these people, or to bring in the tithe, or to perhaps pay for my mission trip with Habitat for Humanity. And all these things are good. But we serve an omnipresent God, a God who wants to issue in His kingdom and His rule on our farms, in our homes, and in our lounges, at the classroom or at the bank, at the supermarket or in the police force. He exists here and He wants us to journey with Him in the work that we do. So what about you? Allow God, even in the busyness of our hurried world, to speak to you, to stop, consider and pray. Even in the midst of work, Christ is here, living with me as I create, as I sustain, or as I redeem. All work is prayer, if it be wrought as thou would have it done. And prayer by thee, inspired and taught, itself with work is one. Shall we just pray? Holy God, God of all, show us how to make each task an offering of faith. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And after your busy labour, rest.